Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the live action Sebastian Trend from the Little Mermaid live action remake. I'm Jack. That's super producer Becca Ramos.
Hello, hello. Happy
How are you
Monday.
Doing? Happy Monday unto you as well. So people think they have gotten the first glimpse of Sebastian from the Little Mermaid. This is a danger we saw coming a mile away. This comes from a perspective of somebody who did not think the live action Lion King was good.
Yeah, agreed. I thought it was bad.
Because the animal actors are not emoting in these dang things. And
it's just such a weird concept to me. Because it's like, you're basically almost watching like a live stream of some animals at the zoo, but like, Beyonce is their voice.
You know? And their lips are moving. Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable.
Right. But I mean, it definitely, it's one of the top 10 highest grossing movies of all time. So I think it was like a thing that a lot of people went and saw. I'm assuming a lot of people were like, there's something missing here. But not enough that Disney would have gotten that message, because it, again, made all the money.
They made so much money. Yes. They made so many more live action movies.
Right. So they're still coming, Fast and Furious. So this Little Mermaid one, we had the question, what will they do with the animals? Like in the last trailer that dropped about a couple weeks ago, we saw the pufferfish friend, whose name I am drawing a blank
Flounder?
On. I think Flounder is not a pufferfish. I think Flounder is one of the other fish friends. But we see her, we see Ariel interacting with a pufferfish, and the pufferfish just has like the cold, dead eyes of a fish. You know, like fish don't
Flounder.
Have the most expressive. Oh, it is? Flounder's the pufferfish? I'm a fool. But just like, I don't know. They didn't read like, oh, there's going to be emotion behind those eyes that we can all get behind. The real question was around Sebastian.
So many questions with Sebastian.
Crabs are just not animals that I think in any photorealistic sense you ever get a vibe other than this is a alien species that wants to devour me.
They're so creepy looking. They're so like real crabs. If it's not like Mr. Krabs, Krabby Patty, SpongeBob Mr. Krabs, I they're like the spiders of the sea. They give me the heebie-jeebies, you know?
Yeah. So we're getting a correction from super producer Victor coming in saying that Flounder. So this is what Flounder in my brain was, this yellow and blue fish, which I think that's right. He's like
he's a
striped yellow and blue.
My bad.
Little guy. he is neither Flounder nor is he pufferfish, I don't believe. Yeah. So I think there's a pufferfish character or moment in the animated film, but I can't be trusted because I haven't seen it in a long time. But anyways, the crab looks pretty much like a crab in this. And again, this is not from a trailer. This is from the box of a puzzle that appears to be pulling characters from how they look in the film. So we don't have like official, like a cell from the film, but we do have like them at least representing Sebastian in what looks like a, just a.
And to be further corrected, Jack, so Sebastian is a lobster, not technically a crab.
This is a debate that Brian, you're getting false information. Sebastian is a crab, I think, technically, but then a lot of people have claimed that...
Because of the way he was designed in the original movie,
yes.
He looks like a lobster. But also, I just pulled up this image. I forgot how jarring that Sebastian looks in the original. I'm like, this is a terrifying little
very
thing,
strange.
Too. Got human teeth. He done got little eyes. Like, yeah. I would argue that SpongeBob did a better job.
Yes, for sure. For sure, SpongeBob did a better job. And... if they made a live-action SpongeBob movie where all of the characters were what they looked like in an aquarium, it probably would not have worked very well.
No.
Yeah. So you can go look up the image yourself. It just looks like a crab.
It does.
And that is going to be... I have seen nature documentaries that are photographed so beautifully and like up close that you do kind of read emotions on the animals, like in a way that these films seem to, I don't know if the technical challenge of just like getting their lips to move is so daunting that they don't even, they're like, yeah, well, whatever. You'll make good with the fact that we just made a crab speak and sing a song.
The issue has always been with the new animation, or at least with the Lion King specifically, it's like they didn't make their faces really emote. It was just making their mouths move. So it was like watching like live animals, and then they're just like kind of talking over the movement of these animals, and they're not emoting in their faces, which it's like, what is the point of doing all the CGI if you aren't going to make the faces emote? Because we could have just done some like old school 90s, you know, animal movies. Because I remember, I feel like in the 90s, there were so many live action animal movies and you just like dubbed over their voices. Like you didn't make their mouths move.
Yeah.
You just had live action dogs and just dubbed over their mouths. And that was better, in my opinion, than trying to animate these very realistic CGI animals and then not having them emote. Or you got to take a lesson from Narnia. I feel like the lion in Narnia, he had that.
He had feelings. Yeah.
He had feelings.
Yeah. So I don't know what's happened to performances these days. Maybe they're just like in the same way that acting has become more naturalistic over time. Like in the 40s, it was like, this is how you acted and this is how you talked, you see. And now people mumble and
mumblecore,
just talk the way them and their friends actually talk. Like maybe they're trying to do that with animals. They're like, actually, we've hung out with some lions and this is actually this is closer to... But anyways, yeah, that's a really good point. Like Homeward Bound and all those. I guess it was because they were dogs and dogs have like faces that were specifically evolved to pull at human heartstrings. And again, this is why, like Lion King feels like missed opportunity. You could have worked with the faces of these beautiful animals. Crabs, I'm like, you have painted yourself into a corner.
A corner, yeah, absolutely.
Unless you are going full puppet, this is going to be a tough one to pull off. Anyways, we're going to release a 3-hour cut of this training episode where we talk about nothing but this, but we should move on. Dozens of British employers are sticking to a 4-day work week. And in fact, so the number is, of 61 British companies that participated in a pilot program testing out 4-day work week, 56 said they would continue. Both employers and employees reported benefits. This is being reported in NBC News, New York Times, and Wall Street Journal.
I mean, I remember when this topic was really starting to bubble during the pandemic, when there was a lot of revolution with the work from home movement and people being like, well, do we just take this a step further and do a 4-day work week? And I remember that's when they started testing in European countries the 4-day work week, and that a lot of countries were seeing if this was beneficial. I feel like when I worked at other agencies during the pandemic, pre my time in podcasting. Mm. I had French clients that they were doing this, and they seemed very happy.
Yeah, it feels, I mean, European jobs seem to have always been like a little bit more flexible and less like, gotta rise and grind, motherfucker, than American work culture. But it does feel like even in American cultures, like I feel like people are ready for this. And if companies are and the media is, this could be a nice win for human beings around the world, not just in Europe.
Absolutely. But I think, like you mentioned off mic, Jack, the note to be made is also that companies, hopefully in their greediness of capitalism, they aren't cutting people's pay, because I don't think that is the inherent benefit here, is like, oh, well, yeah, we're only paying you for 4 days now, because I think, like, as a basis, salary is kind of a sham and really evil in a lot of ways, because you are selling your yearly time to, you know, this job at a salaried yearly rate, no matter how many hours you work. And it reminds me a lot of like almost teaching, where people think, oh, educators, you know, they get 3 months off, like how wonderful, but they only get paid for the 9 months they work in the year. Like, they don't get paid those 3 months. Like, they can choose their pay periods depending on the state and the, you know, school system, if they want to get paid out biweekly or however monthly that they do their paychecks, but spread out their salary throughout the whole year so that they do get paychecks during the summer, even when they're not working, or they have to do the math to like save up during the year, during those 3 months that they're not working. Yeah. So it is, I hope that that is not what happens if America starts looking at the 40 work week.
Right. They're like, and this is a great way to save and get shareholder value, which seems to be like the bottom line. And I guess I was just a little suspicious that it was like the New York Times and Wall Street Journal were both being like, hey, look at this, without it ultimately coming out as, hey, look at this, this is a great way to save on your bottom line corporate interest. So we'll see. But all in, like, the idea, as I've always heard it discussed, is that you do a 4 day work week without cutting people's pay. And I'm hoping that
everyone gets more work done.
Yeah, exactly. Dilbert appears to be finally dead. Like, it's amazing that it came to this, to finally get his comic strip canceled, but he literally called black people a hate group in a racist YouTube rant, and has been dropped by several major newspapers, also his distributor, and according to Adams, also his literary agent, but he's just a great example of like why cancel culture isn't real. Like, if you look at what this piece of shit had to do to finally get his strip canceled.
Yeah.
He
After
was just,
years and years and years.
Yeah, so
work.
Many chances. Yeah. He had recently tweeted about how he seriously considered murdering his stepson.
Oh, my God.
The Highland shooting and every fentanyl overdose death among the young are teaching us the same lesson, and we refuse to learn it. When a young male, let's say 14 and 19, is a danger to himself and others, society gives the supporting family two options: watch people die or kill your own son. Those are your only options. I chose number one and watched my stepson die. I was relieved he took no one else with him. So it was like
a wild sentence.
Yes. A wild sentiment.
A wild way to put that, instead of being like, let's maybe look at the systems as to why fentanyl is even being distributed in our country.
Yes. Just has been saying racist shit forever. Like, back in 2011, he defended a Republican meme portraying President Barack Obama's parents as monkeys, then created a fake account to defend himself and was immediately caught. It's just like, how many chances?
Well, it's good riddance, I guess, you know?
We'll see how long he stays actually canceled. But all right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back, and I always like to highlight athletic feats that, you know, Becca, I know you were kind of up on, you were chomping at the bit.
I was so ready to talk about this. You have no idea. I actually brought the story.
Yeah. Damian Lillard put up 71 points. It's the second time somebody has put up 71 this season.
In a single game, correct?
In a single game, he put up 71. We've been talking on Mad Boosties about how just like out of his mind this man has been, just locked in. He is one of the most fun because he's 6 feet tall. So he's like, you know, much smaller than most of the players on an NBA basketball court, but just like an amazing shooter from anywhere on the court. Like as long as you're over half court, like he's just taken range to a new level, like kind of like Steph Curry, but when he's locked in, it's really incredible. And so we'd been talking, like his last 10 games had been just an incredible run of scoring. And he topped it off by putting up 71 last night.
Congrats, Damian Lillard.
Yes. So a lot of fun. Great to see that. Also, I'm getting excited about the Lakers, despite myself, because they've constructed an interesting team around LeBron and Anthony Davis. So I don't know.
More to come.
Yeah, more to come on that. So let's talk about TikTok Live.
Yes.
Which is not a thing that I was aware existed.
I mean, TikTok Live, I think there's always been a question on how creators make money on TikTok. And, you know, there's the way that most people would think, which is sponsored content, right? Becoming, you know, a brand representative, brand ambassador. But there's also TikTok Live, which is, I think, something people don't normally think about, which is this gamified thing. I think it's different than Instagram Live. I've never gone live on either platform. But I think the idea on TikTok Live versus an Instagram Live is that people can like send you donations. And it kind of is gamified content in the sense that some people will create these scenarios where they're like, oh my God, if you send me this much money, then I'm going to do this thing. And it is a weird place of TikTok internet, like the For You page is an algorithm of your thoughts and anything you ever said out loud. Terrifying in that sense that it is watching you. But TikTok Live is a button that you accidentally hit maybe when you're trying to switch back to your For You page from your following. And then all of a sudden you're in this dark web of like weird ass shit. And The Insider covered one of the reporters, the headline of this article from the writer is Kieran Press Reynolds. I spent all night on TikTok Live and discovered a wasteland of clickbait, scams, and other oddities. It got stranger and darker by the hour. He spent basically a whole evening just like, I think 10 minutes per live. He would scroll through and just like how dark and weird it got. And as someone who's also just accidentally clicked TikTok live, weird shit happens. Like it is a weird fucking place.
Just like slip down a hole and you're like in this weird underground that you didn't intend just by like accidentally clicking on a thing because they've designed it so that it's extra confusing because their shareholders want to see them be like, this is the thing about like before we get into the details of like TikTok Live, I just think it's so interesting that every tech company wants to be everything to everyone. Like they want to, so TikTok is good at a specific thing. They're like, okay, but Twitch is good at this other thing. Mm-hmm. So we have to try to be Twitch. Amazon is like, we're good at shipping things to people, but movie studios are good at this other thing. So we're going to be movie studio. And it's, I don't know, it hasn't really worked out that well when they just get into a thing that they have no experience or internal culture at doing and are like, this is our new thing.
Yeah. And I feel like, especially in a place like TikTok, it is so questionable and like unregulated in a lot of ways, or it's like we don't know who's doing the moderating and the regulating. So when you technically hear a creator when you're on your For You page saying they're going to go on live, it feels more like the Instagram version of a live where it's like they're talking to their audience and that. But when you just randomly fall in the live tab, it is not that. It is not your creators that you like going on live to give you gossip. It is like scammers like scamming you into giving them money for, you know, whatever they're selling. Like they're selling like kitschy shit. Like I don't know, what is that, QVC vibe?
It also has like a Skinner box vibe where it's like because what one of the ones you were describing is like people sleeping and then if somebody tips them, it makes a loud noise that like wakes them up.
Yes.
So you're just like getting to like disturb someone through through the internet, I guess.
Yeah, this quote from the article that I really thought was crazy. When I ended the experiment in the morning, it felt like coming up for air after being submerged in a sea of cultural sewage. I was subjected to the lowest hanging fruit of content, from apparent scams to fantastical role plays to clickbait titles. When I discovered some gems in the depths of the night, it was mostly alarming and a little thrilling to be peering into the unearthed digital world. TikTok Live really is a wasteland of weirdness.
Wow.
And there's just a bunch of images in this article from like different types of lives, like one being like that sleeping scam. It's just a weird place. Yeah. I encourage you to venture just to see.
Yeah,
how weird
I'm very
it is,
but, interested.
But
this is the first
time
I've actually wanted to go on TikTok.
TikTok.
All right. Well, that's terrifying. What a resounding endorsement from that reviewer. Becca, such a pleasure having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
You can find me and follow me at Bex Ramos on all platforms. And you can find me at Mil Mundos Books in Bushwick every other weekend.
Yeah, do it. That's going to do it for us this afternoon. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.